Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Now, Brian, over the last really week or two, we have been talking a lot about the precious metals and how well gold has been doing, and even some of the larger gold stocks and royalty companies, they are doing well. But I feel like we haven't taken a step back and also realized that commodities are broadly just screaming higher. You even look at something like the CRB index that bottomed, obviously, on the back of that COVID washout back in 2020, has just continued to move higher. And the CRB index is at levels we haven't seen since 2014. And I realize that it's a headline-driven market. And anyone that tries to deny that, well, I don't think they're accepting the fact that just look at how much at least these war implications have done for the market. But in a broad sense, though, Brian, when you look at the environment here where all commodities are running higher, what do you take away from this environment? What have you seen in the past, or where do you think this all means we're going in this environment where commodities are clearly getting a buy?
Yeah, well, thank you, Corey. I think the overwhelming story right now is that geopolitics are overwhelming the fundamental story for all commodities, and in particular, gold. You know, you've got aluminum, zinc, base metals, you've got wheat, you've got oil, soybeans, you know, everything that's soaring, some to 15-year highs or record highs. And that's the broad commodity story. But they were already rising. We already had that inflation story. We already had a story that, frankly, was beyond the supply chain disruption story. There were reasons, fundamental reasons, why all the commodities were in uptrends. And gold. Gold, you know, we're looking at the Fed in just about 2 weeks is going to have its first rate hike. That historically and somewhat counterintuitively has been a signal, a bullish signal for gold. It's launched rallies over and over again for gold, most notably in December of 2015. Gold took off on a six-month run that made us all a lot of money after the Fed started to hike rates. And that is what we've been looking for in my coverage over the last 6 months or so. I've been pointing to this date coming up as the time when gold will really take off. And in advance of that, we saw that gold had already established a pretty significant uptrend before the Ukraine issue erupted. Unfortunately, it's all overwhelming that. And at some point, we are either going to have a lessening of tensions or a nuclear war. So let's just look at the other aspect. Let's look at the good news. There will be some resolution, some lessening of tensions, some perhaps acceptance of a new normal. And at that point, gold is going to get sold off by the paper gold traders on the COMEX. And the question now is just how low will we go? And will we be able to get back to that fundamental uptrend that had already pre-existed the Ukraine situation?
Yeah, Brian, it's an interesting tug of war between different factors, because let's say we did get that lessening of tensions in Ukraine in a couple weeks at the same time that the Fed does start their rate hiking cycle. Do those cancel each other out? How much war premium's in there? We'll have to see. Yeah. But are you at least encouraged that even if we did see a correction, we'd be correcting from a lot higher spot, and everybody would have to acknowledge that regardless of the reasons or what headlines driving it on technical levels, gold has clawed its way back up to higher levels and pierced the resistance, as have the miners, and even silver's got above 25. Are you encouraged just by the technical moves on the charts?
Yeah, I am. The more distance we put between the price and $1,900, the better I feel. And we have made some really important technical advances. And there's a big contingent of investors out there that don't care what the fundamentals, what the headlines are. They just look at the technicals. And they may look at any correction as a buying opportunity. There have been also some really big ticket investors, deep pocketed investors who are just shifting their allocations and buying on any significant dips in the price. And at some point, they're going to come back into the market. It's just where that is. I am encouraged, though, by the recent moves. If we can get up to 1950, 1960, 1970, then I'll start to believe that we won't get back below $1,900 on that next correction, and that it will stick. Fundamentally, you know, I think over the next few months, we're going to be headed higher for real reasons based on monetary policies. And the next big headline on monetary policies will be the Fed's inability to significantly raise rates. That's going to happen at some point over the next year to 18 months, and that will really launch gold to, I think, far higher levels.
So I think this is a key thing to discuss here, is that a lot of people have pointed to rate hikes as being bullish for gold. And some rate hikes in the past have, but it really seems like on the back of rate hikes, it's when the Fed needs to stop the rate hikes and switch policy. Because when the Fed does go through prolonged rate hiking cycles, which haven't lasted very long, or we haven't had too many of them, gold doesn't necessarily skyrocket higher, but it is that change in policy. So, Brian, you said 12 to 18 months. What do you think it's going to be that makes the Fed change the direction of this tightening cycle? Is it going to be a pullback of inflation? Is it going to simply be the markets forcing their hand? What do you think is going to cause that change? Because I think that is a key distinction. It's not just that rate hikes start and gold goes up. It's when rate hikes stop, or the assumption that they're going to stop.
Yeah, inflation will pull back at some point. You know, we're going to have another shock because of what's happening geopolitically over the next couple of months. And in fact, the very basic arithmetic of the CPI meant that we were going to have a pullback in inflation, or at least the rate of inflation, over the next couple of months to probably 4 to 5% or something like that. Now that's out the door. That's out the window. We'll probably remain at 6-7% and maybe even accelerate. But at some point, we're going to see the inflation rate remain high, but it's not going to accelerate at the current rates, the really eye-popping rates that we've had over the last few months. The thing that will stop the Fed and force them to reverse their policy, there's really two options. One is the stock market, if they pitch a huge hissy fit. Now, a lot of the air has been taken out of the stock market by the geopolitical situation, so that may be delayed a bit before they really tell the Fed, no mas, you got to stop this. The other very clear and absolute limit for the Fed is when they reach somewhere near 2% on the Fed funds rate. At that point, we're going to be paying close to $1 trillion annually in debt service costs in the U.S. And I think that's politically unacceptable. And that's going to force their hand at some point. That's why I say a year to 18 months. At their anticipated rate of rate hikes, that's going to get them close to bumping up against that 2% ceiling or thereabouts on the Fed funds rate. And I think that's their limit.
Well, Brian, this kind of ties in with what we've been talking about for a while on the show, and that's that eventually there's this point where people realize, and there's all kinds of metaphors, the Fed has painted themselves into a corner, or they're in a real pickle, or you know, they're going to get a checkmate moment. And there's a point where people realize, okay, let's say they took the Fed funds rate to 2%, and then they can't really raise it much more due to the debt. And then maybe the 10 years at 3 or 3.5 at that point. That's still nowhere close to where inflation is. And they won't be able to tame the inflation beast at that level, but they also won't be able to hike any further. And they'll kind of be out of ideas other than hoping that inflation gradually comes down, but they also could lose control of inflation. Do you think that's the point where more generalist investors and even mainstream investors will realize inflation may be more embedded than they were expecting, and that the Fed will have run out of tools? And maybe that's the point where the safe havens, not just gold, but also the dollar, maybe bonds, all those get a little more traction as people realize it's a risk-off environment and they need to have some safe havens in place.
Yeah, exactly. And then they'll move into the safe havens because inflation will remain elevated and that they can't do anything really about it. So that's one scenario, and a very likely scenario. The other one is what happens when the markets realize this and, you know, all of the financial markets take a hit and everybody bails, and therefore the per capita wealth in the U.S. starts to nosedive because the economy is largely the stock market at this point. Then what does the Fed do? It's going to do what it's always done. It's reverted to a very easy monetary policy. But to have any effect, it's got to do more than it did last time. So in a rising inflation environment, being forced to return to an extraordinarily, unprecedentedly easy monetary policy, you know, you're just pouring gasoline on a fire at that point. So what the exact path forward, nobody knows. And I don't think we should believe that anybody knows. I don't think that investors should really care or worry about what particular guru says, what about, you know, the precise path that we take ahead, whether the dollar is going to rise or soar and everything else. The one thing you know is that over the next 5 years, gold almost has to head much higher. Silver almost has to head much higher. So make sure you have all your ducks in a row to prepare for that.
So, Brian, when it comes down to the stocks, what are you watching? Because it's been pretty clear we have seen a lot of the majors, larger companies running higher, royalty companies running higher, juniors still broadly lagging. But I think that all ties into this more fear trade because of the fact that the dollar's moving higher. Bonds have gotten a buy. Gold, silver have gotten a buy. People aren't necessarily looking or have a whole lot of play money to take shots at the riskier stock. So what are you going to be watching when it comes to stock movements?
Yeah, you know, I think absent the correction that will come at some point as the paper gold traders hit the price when things, you know, tensions let up. Absent that, I think we're in a fundamentally based uptrend for gold and silver. And with that in mind, you want to have a position in the optionality plays, the companies of big resources that have some economic supply to them and or are being developed at this point. So those will be good plays in a rising environment. You may want to look at the next big sell-off that's coming at some point as a buying opportunity to jump in into those stocks on that decline to whatever level we do see a decline. I'm also looking at, as I always am in the junior mining sector, at individual stories, exploration stories, drill hole plays that I think are likely to make good news in regardless of what happens in the near future. I offered up a couple of new recommendations in that regard in our March issue of Gold Newsletter, which just went out. So I'm not quite willing to share those to a broader audience, but there are some plays out there, companies that are drilling and or about to drill, that I think are going to make some good news in the days ahead.
Brian, that's the good part about the exploration sector is there's so many companies and there's a lot of money that's been raised and there's a lot of drilling that's gone on. Heck, we're still waiting on some drilling from last year to come back.
Right.
But there's always some kernels popping in the popcorn and the explorers. I'd love you to unpack the idea on the optionality, though, just a little further for investors that may be unclear on that, because you hear during downtrends in the metals that you don't want to be in optionality plays because obviously the trends go in the wrong direction and the resources are getting less and less valuable. But when things turn the other direction, when we see an uptrend in metals, optionality plays can often outperform companies that actually are in production, or they can even outperform companies with great drill results. So what is it about the optionality plays that you like to get into when we see the worm has turned in the market?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's two ways to look at optionality plays. One is what we're focusing on right now. That's the companies that have large resources that may or may not be economic at current metals prices, or, you know, are barely economic. The key is that as the gold price rises, the value of that gold or silver in the ground rises almost exponentially, or at least much more quickly than the price of the metals themselves. So the value of that company rises much more quickly because their forecast profit margins expand. And also investors begin to look around at the companies and they rediscover, as it were, some of these companies that have large resources and they get bid up more quickly. Another way to look at optionality plays are the marginal producers, the companies that are producing gold and or silver right about at the current metals prices. And their cost of production is right about at the current metal prices. So they're not making much money at all, if any, but their profits soar much more quickly as the metals price gets above or creates some distance between their cost of production and the market value. So their profits can expand almost exponentially. I don't follow the producers much in Gold Newsletter, but if you find some of the producers out there who have higher operating costs, higher ASICs, all-in costs for their production, then those are the ones, especially if their price charts show that they're at depressed levels, those are the ones that offer you some torque to the metals price. They're not necessarily the companies that you want to hold all the time, but they are the companies that you want to hold when you anticipate or are fairly confident that we're going to have a significant uptrend in the metals.
All right, Brian, we're going to wrap it up here. Interesting comments, and I think very important to take a step back and understand the full environment that we are in when it comes to the underlying stocks and also the environment where all commodities are running. And quite frankly, there is this fear trade ongoing, dollar moving higher, bonds moving higher, gold moving higher across the board. So this is the environment we're in right now. No one knows where we are going from here, except for the fact that it does seem like we are going to have a Fed rate hike in just under 2 weeks. So that's going to give us even more to talk about. Brian, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You got it. Thanks, guys. You too.